Yes, amen. Christ in me. What a tremendous blessing that is to know that we have Christ in us if you're a born-again believer. If you would, go ahead and look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, as all the classes this morning in our Sunday school taught on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be going there again here in Luke in chapter 24. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 12, and then we're going to drop down and read verse 36 through 45, all right? I want you to get it all here, so if you would, go ahead and stand with me if you're able to do so. As we read the Word of God together, as I read, you follow right along with me. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? And he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and the Mary of the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Now, drop down to verse 36. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. What a blessing it is to be assembled here on this Sunday morning, celebrating Easter, but Lord, every Sunday we celebrate a risen Savior. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for what we've already received. Thank you for your presence and your word. I pray now, God, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Can I tell you this morning that there was much going on that first resurrection Sunday, more than we would be able to understand if we understood everything that was going on in heaven, if we could understand everything that was going on not only physically, but spiritually, in heaven and on earth, where we know that Satan abounds. The earth is Satan's abode right now. And so we know that there was so much going on beyond our understanding and comprehension. We do have the Bible giving us insight into some of what was going on. We know that Jesus had been battling death and the grave for 3 days while his body laid in that tomb. His body had died, stopped functioning. And Jesus was battling the devil, death, and the grave. His disciples had been battling as well. For 3 days, his disciples had been hiding, combating control of their minds. They had given up everything to follow him because they believed him to be the Messiah. The Messiah was prophesied in all the Old Testament that he would come and he would give the victory to Israel and he would lead in a world dominion. His disciples had been in hiding and they had witnessed his crucifixion, one that they had changed their lives over. They'd given up their occupations. They had turned away from everything they knew about life when Jesus called them to follow him. And he would make them become fishers of men. But now he's been crucified. They saw that with their own eyes. They witnessed how he was taken captive, unfairly judged, placed on a cross, a form of Roman judgment, and crucified. Their minds had been racing out of control. Have you ever had your mind do that? You hear some bad news, and my goodness, your mind just keeps going everywhere. Before, during, after. How could this? Why did this? Where is this leading? Only about a year ago that our minds were racing concerning the COVID. So many uncertainties. How could this impact the church like it did? How could this impact the world like it did? Is there an end? Is there another virus on its way? One that's even more potent than what we've just dealt with? Is this the end as we know it? Have you found your mind wandering and racing? What if you'd given up everything to follow Christ, believing him to be the Messiah, and then see him die crucified, a terrible death, suffering, and placed in a tomb? For 3 days, their minds were racing out of control. And then we find that after the 3 days, the women went to anoint his body. Not because they believed that he would not be there because he had told them, but it was just after the Sabbath and that had not been done yet. And they were going to go to the grave expecting to find his body in the tomb and they were going to anoint his body. Verses 1 through 5 gives us that story of while they're going very early in the morning, they found an empty tomb. And we're told that Jesus had resurrected from the grave as he said. Now their mind's racing again. But different thoughts are going through their mind now. They went to tell the apostles. They were instructed to go, but they were excited about what they had just found. And they went to tell the apostles, and when they come to the apostles believe them not. Because they're still confused, their minds racing still. No answers to the questions that they have going on. Still uncertain what their future would be. In verse 11, the Bible says, and their words seemed to them as idle tales. Surely, you have been deceived to think that he has resurrected. You have brought this news to us. No way. It didn't happen. Idle tales. And they believe them not. Even when Jesus appeared to them, he found them troubled and their minds racing still. Look at verse 38. And he said unto them, this is the apostles, these are the ones hand chosen by Jesus himself. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? He knew what was taking place within them. He knew exactly the doubt that was there. He knew what their mind was racing, the thoughts that were in their heads. And he says, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Isn't that something to know, that even though we can't even fully understand the thoughts that are racing through our minds, God understands every one of them. He understands where they're coming from. He understands how we need to replace them. Yeah. What was their main problem? When we have fears in our hearts and minds, we are troubled over circumstances of life, whether it be COVID or whether it be cancer or whether it be this or that or the other. Can I tell you, it's the same problem. The main problem, they had been blinded to what Jesus had taught them. And they couldn't put their faith in what Jesus had taught them. They couldn't find peace and comfort in what Jesus had taught them because they had been blinded. Chapter 24, if you look there in verse 6 and 7, that's exactly what the angel told the women. In chapter 24 and verse 6, the Bible says, he is not here but is risen. Remember! You've forgotten the very teachings of Christ. You wouldn't have come here on this third day and expecting his body to be here. You wouldn't have come here today thinking that you were going to anoint his dead body if you would have remembered what he taught you. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Was he? Yes. And be crucified. Did he go through the crucifixion? Yes. Was it a surprise? It should not have been. And the third day. Is this not the third day? And the third day, rise again. And they remembered his words. And the doubt and the fears left. And the joy and the peace replaced the doubts and the fears. Verse 41. And while they yet believed not, now the disciples, the apostles, they had heard it from Mary. Now they find Jesus in their midst. They're actually looking upon a resurrected Jesus Christ. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? He was going to give them even further proof that he physically resurrected. Now, I love this because that's proof that we're going to have to be able to enjoy food in heaven, amen, in a glorified body. He's in a glorified body. And he was seen and he was known as he was known. What a blessing that is to know that when we get to heaven, there's going to be no calorie food, all that you want to enjoy. There's going to be fellowship around that. There'd be no need for it, but as far as food, but the enjoyment of it is going to be there. Their excitement of joy was so powerful that they had not processed their unbelief or questions. That's what that means when it says there, while they yet believe not for joy. They had the joy because this physical Christ is now standing before them. And yet they hadn't had enough time to find the solutions and the answers to all the thoughts that had gone through their minds. And even now that was gone through their mind, they had not processed their unbelief. But surely, he is resurrected. For 3 days, they had been consumed by doubt and confusion. And by the end of the 3 days, they had begun looking away. Thomas had already left. For Thomas was not there with the other 10 in the beginning. Judas had already hanged himself. But all of them were filled with doubts and their minds had been racing. And Thomas was one of the first one to say, he's dead, we have to move on. Even though he knew Jesus to be the Messiah, I believe he was truly saved, but he had been blinded. He had been blinded to the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He had been blinded to the truth of what Jesus had already taught them. And because of these blinders had caused him to lose sight of the truth, he believed that if he was dead, if he was not really the Messiah, then it was time to move on with the rest of their lives. He was the first. Quite possibly, if Jesus had not shown up when he did, that all 11 would have done the very same thing. Because that's what doubt does. That's what confusion does. Causes you to make unwise decisions concerning the truth of who God is. You look away. They've been blinded to what Jesus had taught them, and after 3 days, they doubted his teachings. The mind was racing, and maybe they were having thoughts like maybe the Pharisees were right. Maybe the Sanhedrin council is right, that this was an imposter, this was not the true Messiah, and maybe it was the will to have him crucified. That this one man should not be allowed to come and change everything up on our beliefs and our religions, how I want to live my life. The minds were racing, thoughts coming from all around. Satan can place a thought in your mind. He cannot force you to accept it. But the temptations will be there. Can I tell you today, there's much doubt and confusion in the world concerning the biblical teachings of Christ. More today in the world than there ever has been. More today, possibly in the United States, than there ever has been. The teachings of Christ on creation. The teachings of Christ on the fall of man. If you understand the fall of man, then you have to understand that all of us have a sin nature that needs to be dealt with. We are not basically good. And children left to themselves do not turn out right. They are to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They are to be raised with structure. They are to be raised with discipline. The Bible reveals that to us. But listen to me, if Christ is not the Messiah, if he's not truly God, then is that really how we ought to raise children based upon the Bible? Do we all have a sinful nature? Are we just born with different thoughts and different ways to live life? And morality will be whatever you want it to be, and it will change from one generation to the next. And that's the way it'll be. It's humanism, doubting the presence of God. Creation, the fall of man, the flood. God's chosen people to represent him, as he had a people in the Old Testament to represent an almighty God whose name was Israel. And who we learned so much from in the Old Testament as we follow the history of Israel, how God worked in their lives to take them out of the land of Egypt and bondage and take them through the wilderness into a promised land. Is that just all idle tales? Or was there truly a God that orchestrated that? As Christ taught them. The virgin birth. Could that be? Could there be someone born in this world without a sin nature? Could there be someone born in this world without a physical father? Could there be such a thing as a virgin birth? Or is that just idle tales? Is thoughts racing in your heart when you hear the world going so far in one direction, whether or not is that true? Could there be a creator God? Could there be a virgin birth where that God became man and dwelt among us? I don't think that there's any doubt that we can believe in a crucifixion. Historians reveal that there was a crucifixion, that Jesus was crucified. But could there be a legitimate resurrection? Could there be such a thing as New Testament Christianity? Based upon God coming to the earth to give us an example of how he would have us to live and treat others? Do we have doubt in this biblical, the biblical teachings of Christ concerning the church? Is the church truly something that Christ established, or did man establish for their own religious ways, choices? Did man make up God for personal gain? I guarantee you, these thoughts are all around, and they're greater today than they've ever been. And people's minds are racing, trying to figure out, is it true or not? Very early on that first resurrection day, there was much doubt and confusion because they had been blinded to the teachings of Christ. So what's the solution? The resurrection impact. What changed it all for the ladies, for the women? What changed it all for the disciples? What changed it all for humanity? And it's called resurrection impact. The fact of the resurrection gave power and authority to all that Jesus had taught them. The fact of the resurrections give power and authority to everything that this Bible reveals to us. You have to look back and you have to believe and understand that God revealed to the humanity Jesus came to suffer and bleed and die on Calvary's cross to pay a sin debt that every one of us owed and could not pay. And he had you in mind as he suffered and bled and died some 2,000 years ago. Took the sinless blood. Not just anybody could have been crucified for the sins of humanity. It took the sinless blood of the Lamb of God to pay your sin debt. And his resurrection gives you the assurance and the power and the authority when he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Woo! That's not the church, and that's not an individual, and that's not the things that Satan's going to put in your head. It is the truth. It is the facts of the very words of God. Amen. The resurrection impact. They saw an empty tomb. They met angels telling them, remember what he taught you. He is God. And he has resurrected. Yeah. Women who first found an empty tomb remembered. In the book of Matthew, let me just read this to you. But Matthew's account in chapter 28 and verse 8, it says this. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear. That fear was a reverential fear of this is God. Jesus is God. And with a reverential fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word, because now those thoughts were controlled. Now their understanding of what they had believed all along was true. And the peace was there. And the fear was gone. And they knew for sure that Jesus was who he said he was, because this man who claimed to be the only begotten Son of God has resurrected from the grave. Amen. I saw him die. And now he's resurrected. When you have the faith to believe and you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, there'll be great joy all inside of you. It'll give you peace of mind. Your thoughts can be controlled and you can worship and praise a Savior. Thank God for everlasting life. They would not doubt again. Their doubts had been erased. Their joy returned. And their minds settled. Then the impact on the apostles. Chapter 24, we read it, verse 44 and verse 45. And he said unto them, this is after he ate with them. This is after he said, look at my hands. Look at my feet. Yeah, the spikes had been nailed right through them. And the scars were there. Yeah. Now he says to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. I prepared you for this. I taught you what you needed to know. But you had been blinded. I was yet with you that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets. That's the Old Testament. He confirmed everything about the Old Testament to be true and accurate. And in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. He took the blinders off. Amen. The that they might understand the scriptures. They had faith to believe it all. From the beginning to the end of what this Bible says. How can you know and how can you believe? Because the resurrection gave him the authority and power for me to believe. If you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he resurrected from the dead, then that gives you the authority, gives him the authority and the power for you to believe exactly what he taught us. It's found in the scriptures. He also gave a promise that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Wow. It allowed them all to overcome doubt and confusion. It's exactly what will help us to believe today. It's exactly what will help us all to believe the teachings of Christ and not look away. This is Easter on the Christian calendar for us to acknowledge once a year. Again, I believe as you get saved, you acknowledge the resurrection every Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's Resurrection Sunday. We come expecting a resurrected Savior to meet with us. We come expecting to hear more of what he taught us from the Bible, to preach this word, to teach this word, to sing praises unto him. It's Resurrection Sunday. Some might be in church for the first time. Some might be in church for the first time since the last Easter. However old you are, you have experienced that many Easter Sundays. Has it impacted you like God wants the resurrection to impact you? Or have you turned away from it and sought another way? How many more do we have? There's been over 2,000, I know that, since the resurrection. I've experienced 65 myself. How many more opportunities will we have to clear up the thoughts, to slow down the racing of the mind, and focus on the truths that Christ has taught us? How many more? How many more? When a person looks away from the resurrection, the Bible says you become a fool. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You can't believe in the resurrection and not believe in God. You can't believe in the resurrection not to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. You can't believe in the resurrection without understanding the reason that he died on the cross of Calvary. If you turn away from him, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The book of Romans, and I'm closing right here, but let me just read this to you. In the book of Romans in chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they knew of God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful for God and his love and gift for them, but became vain in their imaginations. There's that mind again. Thoughts arise in your mind, in your hearts. And they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Is that not true with so many today? Thinking they know more than what Christ taught, They have a better understanding of life and morality than what Christ taught. Thinking they have a better understanding of the beginning of all things and the end of all things than what Christ taught. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beast and creeping things. They became fools. And as fools, they want to change the glory of God and even control or determine what others believe. What was the solution for the apostles? What was the solution for the women that went to the tomb? It's the same for us. We must never lose sight of the impact of the resurrection. He paid our sin debt, and he offers to us forgiveness and eternal life. Don't let fools determine your belief. Look to Christ. Look to Christ and believe all that he has taught us. It'll calm your mind down. It'll give you peace that passeth all understanding. It'll give you joy that nothing else can give. Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior of the world. The fact that they have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Are you looking to him? Or are you turning away from him? I trust, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that today's the day. Stop looking away and turning away from his love for you and his desire to see you saved. And by faith, believe who he is and receive the gift that he has for you to receive. Trust in him. Trust in him. Father, we bow before you now. We love you and we thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. And thank you, Lord God, that as we can read the scriptures, they're so powerful. And they have exactly what we have need of. And Lord, we can come to a church that you've established that is based upon the Bible. And we can hear the truths preached that can help us to better understand and take the blinders off. And I pray this morning, God, for all that are here, and there might be some that have blinders on for salvation or possibly even that are saved but are going in a wrong direction. I pray that you'd take the blinders off. Reveal to them what they must do today to be able to draw closer to you. Work in our midst this morning. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.